Ready to dissect divisional weekend, Keith?
Oh, let's pick it apart.
The autopsy of the divisional round, Jones.
It's good.
They're down to four teams in the league.
Good picking. It was a good weekend.
It was a really good weekend. Every game gave you a little something. There was no just out-and-out useless game. Some were better than others, obviously. Storylines aplenty. But yeah, it was good, good football. Good weather games, too. Throw a little weather game.
Yeah.
You like a game when it's cold?
Well,
I like seeing the breath.
I do like that. I like the visual of the snow on the field, like in that Philly game, and even to a degree Buffalo last night.
Yeah.
I also like a lot of offense. Like I don't points. Like when the weather impacts the points and the offenses. I don't really like that.
No, that's a good point. The best game had no weather.
It's not really. Yeah, exactly. It's not true. Really the defense is doing anything. It's just the weather is doing something, which is different at least. And I get people who like weather games, but yeah, I like offense and points, and I'm a simpleton, and I like shiny objects.
Points.
Yeah, I mean, it's just when it impacts that, it kind of gets in the way. But the visual of it's cool. The breath.
Breath,
I underscored the breath.
Man, it must be cold there. I can see their breath.
I saw a lot of my breath this morning.
Did you?
Shoveling out.
Oh, yeah, same.
How are you up north? You got a lot more here? It wasn't terrible here.
4 inches, maybe. Which,
nice.
When used effectively. No, I thought it was maybe 4 or 5. Like I, you know what was nice?
What's that now?
This happens every once in a while with me. So I feel like if you're out there shoveling your driveway while the plow comes by, every once in a while the plow does you like a solid, because like
it'll come in and
they'll clean up a little bit.
Yeah.
So it kind of cleans up a little bit, like the front.
Sure.
But if you're not out there, they just bury it and bury it and bury it, and you go out there and you're like 10 feet of snow.
Yeah, there's the Great Wall of China out there,
luckily,
at the end of my driveway. Yeah.
I was out there. I had to dig out first because my wife left for work even before I did. So I'm out there shoveling like a maniac, and then the plow guy gave me a little, didn't like clean it up, but he helped me out. So that sped up the process.
Must have been a Celtics fan plow driver, not a Bruins fan.
For sure. My mailbox still up. It's in the bucket, but it's still up.
Okay.
And it wasn't too bad.
We'll get to both of those loser teams coming up, Celtics and
what
Bruins.
What a weekend for those guys.
In just a little bit with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. That's your phone and text number here for Jones and Keefe. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe on Twitch. You can watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on there.
Oh, yeah.
And on YouTube, subscribe to WEEI. Let's start with the Ravens and the Bills. I think it was the most anticipated game of the weekend. One of the closer finishes of the weekend, and there are huge stakes to it with Josh Allen now back in an AFC title game against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Chiefs trying to three-peat. We get, I think, the fourth playoff matchup, right, between the Bills and the Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken. So another rematch between Mahomes and Allen, which we'll get to. Do you think the Bills won that game, the Bills were clearly the better team, or did the Ravens choke it away?
I think the Ravens ended up choking it away. I think the Bills had a solid first half. You know, Josh Allen running in. They weren't playing amazing. And the Raven, you know, Lamar Jackson had the bad pick, the fumble. But then they started to turn things on a little bit in the second half, and it looked like even though they were trailing on the scoreboard, it felt like the momentum had changed. It felt like the Ravens were actually going to end up winning the game. You know, Derrick Henry got going a little bit. Justice Hill had some good runs. And Mark Andrews just killed him. And I know in the post game they're saying all the right things, and you got to be a good teammate. But no, one guy lost in the game. That guy's name is Mark Andrews. He was so bad. And it reminds me, were the Ravens on the season opener game?
Yeah, I feel like, against the Chiefs. Yeah.
And he was terrible in that game. Remember? Mark Andrews was
Andrews,
bad.
Yeah, was like, did he even have a catch? You're right. He was terrible in that
first
game. He
might have had no catch. He might even had a drop. And I know they held up the graphic that he hadn't fumbled since 2019. So I know he's not like a fumble guy, but he fumbled in this one. He had a drop, and then he had an unbelievable drop on the two-point conversion. Like, in his hands from 2 yards away, not a bullet. Can't really blame the weather for that. The defense wasn't there. There was a good play call. Wide open and drops it. So, like, on the one hand, as a human, you might feel bad for him. As, like, a sports fan, though, you're like, how can that possibly be? So, because I feel like, let's play it out this way. If they go for two, or I'm sorry, if they complete the two-point conversion, I think they win the game.
Oh, I don't. They left way too much time for Josh Allen.
Yeah, it was
a
buck 44.
133, I thought, but I can double-check it. I thought they...
Bills weren't exactly lighting it up in the second half,
they
though.
Weren't, but... A minute and a half left with Josh Allen at the end of the game when he's got four downs if they want it.
Yeah.
I mean, I this is why I go a little beyond Mark Andrews, who was terrible in that game. Andrews had the fumble. It was brutal. Great play by the Buffalo defensive back. But and a horrible, horrible drop. But I do go a little beyond that. I'm projecting. I'm trying to guess what would have happened. Mm. We don't know what would have happened. Mm-hmm. But I think Allen gets him at least in field goal range. Bassett already boomed a 50-yarder.
Drill it.
I thought was moronic. They attempted that. I'm like, this is so stupid. Huge. They're kicking a 51-yarder.
I know.
Hey, drilled it. Jay Feely talked me out of it. That's what I blame Jay Feely.
Jay Feely, the kicking correspondent.
For talking me out of it on the scene there. I don't know what he's good for, what he's saying, don't kick this, and then the guy drills it. But, yeah, Lamar's turnovers killed him early in the game. So this is what I have trouble squaring away is, you know, Lamar had more passing yards. He was more accurate. He had the touchdowns. Josh Allen threw for none. He ran for two.
Mm-hmm.
He had the better rating. You know, he was better on the ground. I mean, he didn't score as many touchdowns, but he was better overall on the ground. Like, you look at the statistics and you go, Lamar Jackson greater than Josh Allen. But then, I mean, well, A, Josh Allen's team won. But B, Lamar had a couple of that pick was brutal. The fumble maybe was worse. And I'm not going to let Lamar off the hook for those things. He was great on that final drive, and he was great getting him back into the game. And the numbers overall look fine and certainly better than Josh Allen.
Yeah.
But those turnovers early in the game killed them, and that's why they were behind.
Yeah, the pick was horrible. Like, that was one of those ones where you blame the receiver, you blame something else. That was just terrible. What about them going for two when they did originally, when they tried to tie it in the third quarter of the Ravens?
I didn't have an issue with that.
I mean,
it ended up them needing to chase a two-point conversion at the end of the game, but I didn't have a problem with that.
So I think my bigger problem was,
I thought you liked going for two.
In the fourth quarter. I always go in the fourth quarter. I'm also a big just score points. Now, maybe the weather had a factor there, and they didn't think there was going to be as many points. But because of stuff like this, or if you hold them to two field goals in the next two possessions, well, now you're down by seven. And then, you play right back into it. I love going for two. Don't get me wrong, but fourth quarter. Fourth quarter, do the math, kind of figure all that out. Third quarter, I probably wouldn't have gone for two. And if I did, you have Derrick Henry back there. You have a 300-pound fullback and a 260-pound running back, and they don't do any of that. They end up kind of like running around, like throwing it. I was like, I didn't love the play call there. They ended up throwing it on the second two-point conversion, which they should have actually completed. But I thought the play call was bad. I thought the decision I didn't love. It ended up obviously coming back to bite them. But even non-revisionist history, I usually save it, especially if you think there's going to be more points to be scored from both teams. I would just save the two-point tries to the fourth.
So you think the Ravens choked it away more than the Bills won it?
Yeah, I thought they made a couple of dumb decisions, you know, whether you want to say the play call or those things, and then just Mark Andrews himself, because I think they had taken away momentum. You saw the Bills did a pretty good job stopping Derrick Henry in the first half. Second half, not so much. So if they just kind of relied on that a little bit more, I think they should have won the game. The way things flipped there in the second half. Sitting there at, 21-10 at the half, whatever it was, you're like, well, the Bills are going to win this. It's going to be Allen Mahomes again. But the response by the Ravens in the third quarter was really good, to the point where I was like, the Ravens are going to win this game. Like, I was back and forth.
So you can jump in on this. Did the Bills win the game, or did the Ravens choke it away? I would tend to agree with Keith. It was more of a choke job by Baltimore. Mark Andrews and even Lamar Jackson, I'm not letting him off the hook for those turnovers. I would lean that way. That would inform this next question. Is it the Bills' year? Like, they're back in the AFC title game. I think they're a 1.5-point dog, I think.
I'll pick them in one place.
Okay.
Which I think is the way to do it. It should be a pick. I don't think either team should be getting points.
You don't think the Chiefs should be favored? I definitely think the Chiefs should be favored. Kansas City is a 1-point favorite is what I see right now.
Oh, they are? Okay.
So I'm sorry. I lied. It opened at 1. It's 1.5.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's one of those things where I could see why the Chiefs would have been a dog, just the way they've played all season. I know they only have one real loss, but the way they played in the game against Houston versus like the real challenge that Buffalo had in overcoming a team like Baltimore, yeah, it feels like it could be their year, but then again, you got Patrick Mahomes standing in your way. How many times probably did the Chargers or the Steelers or the Colts think it was their year, and then you got Tom Brady? Like, yeah, it might be your year, but unfortunately, it can't be because you're going up against the greatest of all time. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll get into the Lions game coming up, but it felt like the Lions, hey, maybe it's their year, not their year.
No.
Like, there is something about these franchises that they can't shake some of their history. So, yeah, this season, the way it was playing out, the Bills, you're like, maybe it will be their year, but lo and behold, you have Patrick Mahomes standing in the way again.
So Mahomes is 3-0 head-to-head with Josh Allen in the postseason. They played in 20. 21 is when they had the fantastic divisional round
game.
And then last year in the postseason, he's 3-0 head-to-head with Josh Allen. Allen's 4-1 in the regular season, including a win this year.
Yeah.
You do think at some point that has to give, right? Like Buffalo has shown they can beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
At some point, that has to flip.
At some point, the Toronto Maple Leafs will win a game in the play in the postseason, right?
Okay, bad example. But at some point, you knew Peyton Manning was going to break through against the Patriots. Yeah. That wasn't going to happen forever.
Yeah.
And so, is this the year that happens?
Well, so is it more this is Allen's best team out of this group, or is it maybe Mahomes' worst team? Like, I think maybe that's how you kind of look at it. It's probably Mahomes' worst offense that he's going head-to-head with Josh Allen. But, I mean, Mahomes has, I would say, the advantage defensively. I think Mahomes has a better group to lean on. Like, when he's off the field, the Chiefs are still really good. When Allen's off the field, I'm not as sure. Right? Like, I think the Chiefs, even though they don't have the highest scoring offense in the league by a long shot, I think they can still find ways to beat the Bills' defense.
So you can jump in on this. We're starting with that game last night, the most anticipated game of the weekend, the closest finish of the weekend. Bills are back in the AFC title game with a 27-25 victory over the Ravens. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line. Did the Ravens choke it away? Did the Bills win it? Is this Buffalo's year? Can they break through against Kansas City? We'll get to the Chiefs as well. Back in the AFC title game. 7 times in 7 years for Mahomes.
Not bad.
On the verge, it feels like, of a three-peat. So that's going to be in your face, Patriots fans. And, of course, Mahomes flopping around. The refs siding with the Chiefs. It's going to be tough to beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead when they have the refs in their back pocket,
that's
Keith. I know
true.
A lot of Patriots fans feel that way.
The 12th man.
Saquon Barkley bringing the running back back. So we'll get to that later on. Plus, Jaden Daniels still alive, breaking through, knocking off the Lions, as Keith referenced.
Mm-hmm.
And what sort of lessons the Patriots can learn. They drafted one pick after the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. The Commanders are in the NFC title game,
man.
And you were among the worst teams in the NFL. What'd you do wrong? What can we learn? Plus, we can get to Ben Johnson as well. Rough day for him. With all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Text here at 617-779-7937.
Yes.
Mark Andrews is now the Bill Buckner of Ravens history.
I believe it.
Is it that bad?
I think it is.
It's that bad?
Well, so I actually thought about
worse
that.
Than Billy Cundiff?
I thought about the exact same comparison. Ooh. As Buckner, because the difference, I guess, would be Buckner is World Series. This is the divisional round. If this happened in the Super Bowl, no doubt.
Yeah.
If it happened in the conference championship,
right.
Maybe. I think because the stakes were a little bit lower. Now, it's still a massive game, and, you know, you're competing for a chance to go to the conference championship game. Same idea, though, because the game's not over if he makes the play, but you're the absolute goat in the bad way for not making the play. And it was just so, everybody points to Buckner being like, hey, it's a routine grounder to first. Although, when you watch it, I don't know if it's the most routine. But anyway, we don't need to relitigate
bad
that.
Bad knees. The guy had bad knees.
Oh, he shouldn't have been out there, Jones.
Yeah,
shouldn't have been out there, for God's sake.
Get him out of there.
What
ice
the hell
those
was
knees.
Going on?
What
that inning was a meltdown. No, we don't need to relive the 86 World Series. But I did think the same thing. You're like, all right, one play. You know, Tony Romo fumbling the extra point, remember, years ago, back when Tony Romo was the placeholder for the Cowboys. Like, certain plays like that, which... Yeah, I think Romo, even on the call, was like, oh, he catches that 999 times out of 1,000. You're like, all right, well, he dropped that one. And, yeah, that's bad. I'd put that up there.
The texter's also saying, I'd like the league to look into Mark Andrews' DraftKings account.
Something's up with
that. Because it wasn't just the drop. That fumble was brutal as well.
Horrible fumble. And he had a drop earlier in the game. Like, he did not seem like he was in it to win it.
No. So, again, you see what Baltimore was able to do this year.
Yeah.
You see what the Bills were able to do. You wonder if Buffalo kind of has it all going for them. I was admittedly, and this was, we have stakes in this, Keith, mm-hmm. Allen versus Lamar, who should win MVP. I did expect a little more out of Josh Allen in that game last night. Like he's overwhelming as a runner. And, you know, he is a guy when the game's on the line, it's 3rd and 1, it's a 4th and 2. I thought they did a good job on the broadcast last night, Romo, to his credit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Romo was decent yesterday. Brady, actually, we can get to this later on. I thought Brady actually had a fantastic day.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Now, maybe it's because my expectations are so low because he's been so bad.
Yeah.
But Brady had a really good night,
and
I
he's
thought.
He's like, I only have to do 2 more of these.
he's like, the end's in sight.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can get to Brady later on. But Romo, I thought, was right. Like, and it's the cheapest play in sports, but you line up Josh Allen twice, tush push. Who's stopping that?
Oh, how about the Mark Andrews tush push? You like that one?
Yeah, that was one that worked out for Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews actually picked up a first down on that.
I like it a little better when it's not a quarterback out there being pushed by, you know, some 250-pound guy behind him.
Forward.
But, no, he's so...
No, he wasn't, like, amazing by any stretch.
He wasn't. But he's so overwhelming as a runner. I that's a guy that I just trust in big spots. I don't feel like... And maybe I have the 2021 divisional round game... Where he and Mahomes, I was looking back at that game. I was watching highlights and looking over the box score of that game. the final 2 minutes, the score changed like four different times.
That was like Baker Mayfield Mahomes from college. Like, yeah. It was just like zing, 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 it was, zing, zing,
I,
zing.
I remembered the final back and forth, like the final exchange where Allen scored and then Mahomes scored in 13 seconds or whatever. Yeah. Well, I remembered that.
Yeah.
I forgot how much that final 2 minutes was a back and forth, where it's Gabe Davis of all people, and then it's Tyreek Hill, mm-hmm. and then it's Gabe Davis again, and then it's a big play to Hill, a big play to Kelsey, a game-tying field goal. They win it in overtime with a touchdown to Kelsey. I forgot about that. He's a guy I just trust in those big moments. So
yeah.
He wasn't great. It wasn't his best day. You're going to need more against Kansas City. But you do start to wonder if that's going to flip soon, the Bills and the Chiefs, because it's been so one-sided for so long. And the Bills, in the regular season, are able to knock him out. You do need more out of Allen, to state the obvious.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's about to flip.
You know, does he have enough around him, I guess, would be the question, too. Obviously, to get to this point, he does. But to win these final two games...
Right.
James Cook is good. James Cook's really good.
Is James Cook and Khalil Shakir, is that enough?
It's a lot. I mean, it leaves a little
Amari
something
Cooper's
to be desired.
Invisible in these games.
Cooper blows. Like, Cooper might as well not be on the team. Like, when do you even notice him? He ran the one wrong. I'm convinced he ran the wrong route.
That's the only play I know. I know what you're talking about. That's the only play I noticed him.
Even Romo's like, good, like, you know, defense. So I'm like, good defense. Like, the guy just, like, I think he was lost. I bet he didn't even know the play.
And he was begging for a flag.
So you have Curtis Samuel is good for, like, one play every couple weeks. Shakir's not bad. Keon Coleman, maybe. The two tight ends he throws to. It's an underwhelming group. Like, he has to really kind of carry them. I think James Cook, even though I think he ran for like 3.9 yards a carry yesterday, but he's somebody, and he was a 1,000-yard back the year before, but the big difference...
Touchdowns.
He's a touchdown machine this year. He wasn't the year before. So he can take some of the pressure off of Josh Allen, so it's not literally a one-man attack for Buffalo. But I don't know. Then you look at Kansas City, they're not as flashy. But Travis Kelce's still going to make a play.
No,
this Kareem Hunt's still going to make a play.
This is the thing.
To.
You've been calling Kelce washed all year.
Yeah. No,
this
I know.
This is when he shows up.
Yeah, right.
He's got your girl, Caitlin Clark.
Oh, wow. What a power booth that was.
And Swifty.
Yeah, it's hard to beat.
I mean, that's going to be, plus the refs on their side. So you're going to have to deal with that as well.
And the whites. Okay. Got all the whites on their side now.
That's true. Caitlin Clark is just, she's got a specific fan base. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. All your divisional round thoughts. We're starting with the Bills and the Ravens. Did the Ravens choke it away? Did the Bills win it? Is this Buffalo's year? I want to get into the Chiefs. You can't possibly be rooting for Kansas City. I know you're not, Keith.
No, I'm not.
I mean, you out there. You can't possibly be rooting for Kansas City against the Patriots' divisional opponent in Buffalo. You can't possibly hate the Bills more than the Chiefs. So we're all Buffalo fans this weekend. They're going for their three-peat. Mahomes in his seventh straight AFC title game. Do they get it done? And do they get it done because of the refs? I know a lot of you want to talk about it. We'll get to the Mahomes flopping. We'll get to the bad calls on Saturday against Houston with all your thoughts right after Trending with Billy Lance. Mahomes and Kelce back in the AFC title game.
Jeez.
No one's surprised. It was Houston.
No, I was surprised how close the game was. I was surprised that the game was even in doubt for as long as it was. But, the result is not surprising.
No. So he's back. He's 7-for-7, which really is
unbelievable. It's insane.
And Kelce kind of sleptwalked through most of the year. And then when you got to have it in the third and fourth quarter, he's right back there. In the center of everything, Chiefs, you'd imagine, on the verge of three-peating, or to put it another way, they're two wins away from three-peating, something that's never been done.
Yeah. Seven is
dominated
nuts,
the world,
though.
That is pretty crazy.
Nuts.
That's wild that they've done that.
It's
seven
insane.
In a row. And you get the Bills and the Chiefs for the fourth time in the postseason, really a rematch from the 2021 divisional round or the AFC title game in 2020 or their matchup last year in 2023. So we'll get to your thoughts on all of it, 617-779-7937. We started off talking Ravens and Bills. Ravens choked it away. Lamar Jackson loses another playoff game. Is it fair that that follows him around when Mark Andrews is really the GOAT in a bad way?
Bad GOAT.
Yeah, the one who dropped the ball and fumbled in the game. He's going to wear a lot of the brunt of that. And you wonder if it's Buffalo's year matched up against the Chiefs. Before we get to the refs, the bailout calls, and what's a separate topic from that, Mahomes flopping around, which is pathetic.
Yeah, you don't need to do it. When you get every call, you don't need to then ask for more calls.
Before we get to that, though, and I want to play Aikman for you coming up because he had a good rant on the
Steven.
Refs. You were underwhelmed by the Chiefs in that game?
Yeah. I mean, they obviously did what they needed to do. They didn't have to blow them out or anything like that, but the way the Texans just kind of dominated to a certain degree, right? They outgained the Chiefs by, what did it end up being? Like over 100 yards or something along those lines?
Hang on.
336 to 212.
I heard a
336 to 212.
I think I heard your girl Courtney say this today, and I saw it on the text line as well. Did every team that had the yards advantage this weekend lose?
Yep.
You're nodding, Nick.
Yep, all,
so
everyone.
I heard that this morning. I was unaware of that. So this is another game where that happened.
That's why you play for points, not for yards.
I think they all had more takeaways or turnovers. However, you want to look at it.
That makes sense. Now the Chiefs Texans game had no turnovers in it. You know, it was just some dumb penalties that really cost Houston, or dumb slash bad calls, however you want to slice it, but 82 penalty yards to only 29. So in a game where there are no turnovers, in a game in which Houston is kind of dominating, they had the time of possession, overwhelmingly the yards, they ran for almost 100 more rushing yards in the game, and they still lose. So Kansas City, I mean, we've seen them now for years. They're insanely clutch. You can't really count them out, especially at home. Like, they completed they're undefeated at home to this point. Buffalo, also undefeated at home to this point. We talked in the regular season about how important that home field advantage is going to be. Like, whoever has that game.
And Buffalo beat Kansas City and Buffalo earlier this
year.
Yeah.
So you're like, all right, so that should be good. Like, that, you thought maybe that head-to-head would be enough, but it wasn't, because Kansas City only dropped one more game, so they'll get to host this one. But no, I mean, give the Texans credit, because I thought they were, like, of all the teams in it, the most just happy to be there. On Friday, we said, not that we picked the Commanders, but we thought the Commanders had a better shot at a big upset than the Texans. We gave the Texans zero chance.
None.
And they were in this thing.
Right. We didn't give the Commanders much of a chance, gave them a better chance at the Saturday upset than Houston.
Oh, yeah, we said no chance. And what was it, a one-point game in the second half?
Mm-hmm.
Like, pretty impressive by Houston.
So are the Chiefs lucky or good? Something we can get into. You'd think they've proven their mettle as a good team.
Yeah.
With, you know, their three Super Bowls and back-to-back champs, and they're in the AFC title game every year. You would think they've proved that they're good, but I know a lot of you out there feel that they're lucky and they haven't scored 30 this year, and the refs are on their side. If you saw the flag that the Chiefs got, a lot of people were complaining about it. I give Aikman a lot of credit. I don't typically like crying about the refs, but I also give an analyst on a broadcast who, you know, in some ways works for the league and knows the league isn't happy with criticism of the officials, I give him a lot of credit for going here. Here's Aikman when two Texans clunked heads and there was a penalty for a personal foul on Mahomes.
Personal foul, unnecessary roughness, defense number 39.
Oh, come on.
15-yard penalty.
Here's the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a runner, and I could not disagree with that one more, and he barely gets hit. That's the second penalty now that's been called against the Texans.
Hey, Troy, I agree with you. There's no forcible contact to the head neck area of him. The two Houston players hit each other. That should not have been a foul.
And if you, they've got to address it in the offseason. You can't, as a quarterback, run around and play games with defenders and then be able to draw a penalty.
Okay. So Aikman, I give a lot of credit again for going there.
He was on it.
You know, and he's not crying because he's a Patriots fan and he's worried about them winning three Super Bowls and worried about, you know, their self-worth being tied up in Brady's Super Bowls and everything else. He's doing it because he's sick and tired of these cheesy calls getting thrown when Mahomes is out there flopping around.
Although he won 3 and 4
and
years,
trying
right?
to get calls. That's true. Maybe he's got a dog in the fight. Good point, Keith. Maybe he's worried about that and Mahomes passing him. So I shouldn't say he doesn't have a dog in the fight. But largely when you're going after the officials, it's you're rooting for one side or the other. You're worried about, you know, your team versus another. But maybe Aikman's worried about his own personal situation. Fair point. There was also the one earlier in the game where Will Anderson had the helmet-to-helmet, which a lot of people were crying about that. I thought that was an easier call, to be honest. This one, I think, was a mistake. Your thoughts on the refs and their role in this win for Kansas City and their wins all year in general?
Yeah, it is crazy because I hate ref talk. Like, I think it sucks, like, in any of the sports. And don't get me wrong, I have plenty of issues with refs. I'm a very pro-robot refs. Solve this right now. I think referees are subhuman. I don't need to be dealing with them or talking about them or whatever else. They make a lot of mistakes. But to say that they change the results of, like, all of these games, which is sort of what a lot of people say about the Chiefs, is, like, the refs win all these games. I don't love that. I do understand what Aikman's talking about, though, because that is very specific plays where, Are you giving this guy a first down now after this? Like, what do you want the defense to do? Like, there are a few times where he is a runner. So do you want to let him pick up more yards? You got to get him to the ground
and
at some point.
He's a lethal runner, too. He's the kind of guy who, if you back off, he's gonna
keep
going
to
turn it upfield and get another 5 or 10 yards.
Yep. And then he's flopping for ones, too. You brought that up earlier where he's on the sideline and guys are like, well, if we hit him, we're going to get flagged. But he's not running out of bounds yet. And then we get close to him and he flops, which is awful. And it's like, I don't know how anybody can take his side on a play like that. But there is something there where how do you officiate quarterbacks in general? Here's a weird Keith Spiracy for you.
Oh.
So I think Mahomes probably does get some preferential treatment, just like Tom Brady got some when he was playing.
The star quarterbacks do. Star players in the NBA get it. Star quarterbacks get it. Yeah.
See if you sign up with this.
Okay.
I might be a lone wolf on this.
Okay.
Keith Spiracy. I think one of the reasons Mahomes also gets more of these calls when he's like a runner is because he kind of runs awkwardly. So, for example,
it's the dad bod.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a little goofy.
It's kind of waddling effective. Around out there.
So, like Josh Allen, when he gets it and goes, you're like, that's a runner. He's lethal.
That's a thoroughbred.
You can hit him as hard as you want. You might bounce off him.
Uh-huh.
Lamar Jackson, half the size, but he's super fast. Looks like a wide receiver running with the ball. Mahomes is kind of like awkwardly running. So, when he gets hit, it's more jarring. So, if guys are like, whoa, he got killed
because
he's kind of goofy out there.
It's your dad legging out a double in softball.
He's trying
as hard as to get on his horse and get out to second base. That's kind of what it is.
I think it does. I think he's got a little something to do with,
I'll keep an eye on that, with
what it looks like.
That's a good Keith Spiracy.
Because some of these other running quarterbacks, like when Jalen Hurts goes, you're like, that's legit a runner. Whereas with Mahomes, it's almost a little more fragile. And then it also gets down to the question of, like, you know, should quarterbacks be treated differently?
This is the text line, 617-779-7937. Maybe Aikman just hates how the league is now. Quarterbacks are way overprotected. It makes the league look terrible. I agree with some of that. He's probably a little bitter, too, about, given his experience, the concussions that he suffered.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure he wishes he was protected that way.
It's a fine line, though, because they're football players, especially when they're running, you should get hit. That's part of the game. But what if I told you the AFC Championship game next week was going to be Mitch Trubisky versus Carson Wentz?
Right.
Horrible.
Not great. It'd be week 18 all over
again. It'd be the pits. Right. Yeah. It'd be awful. Like, quarterbacks are what get people going, right?
Yeah.
There's plenty of other stuff to watch and to enjoy, but that's what you sell is those guys.
Yeah, and I'll say this about Mahomes. At some point, you are tempting fate a little bit when you're flopping around trying that, because that was pathetic.
I hate that.
When
you're
already
flopping
getting a lot
around.
Of calls. So we're talking about not the two personal fouls, but when he's knocked out of bounds and he flops on the sideline to try to get another personal foul call. When you've already gotten most of the calls on
greedy.
The game and you get the most weeks, just like the Patriots did. This is not a complaint. It just is what it is. The Patriots used to get calls. The Chiefs get them now.
Uh-huh.
That's the way it is. You're tempting fate a little bit when you're doing what Mahomes was, flopping around on the sideline, begging for calls, trying to trick the referees. Marcus Smart style, flopping all over the place, you are getting into a gray area where sooner or later the refs are going to go, well, I'm not going to fall for your crap anymore because you're flopping around. And
I hope.
Now it's going to swing the other way and you're not going to get those calls.
I hope that's the case. I also, you know, short of going full Greg Williams bounty gate, at some point do the defense say, look, we don't want to give up 15 yards, but if you touch them, it probably will be 15 yards anyway, so let's make it count. Like that kind of thing. Not again, going to the full, let's hurt him. But like, hey, if Mahomes is going to run around out there and like try to pick up these first downs and he's like half sliding, half not, fake going out of bounds, we won't be mad. Like, go ahead and get a big shot
on him. Didn't the Lions have a big one on Jaden Daniels in the second half of that game where he was running around?
A couple.
And they just, a big pop, took him out clearly after the whistle, personal foul. And I saw that in real time and I'm like, I think that's one worth taking.
Yeah.
That's one worth taking if you're a defense.
Six.
Yeah.
Goff got absolutely
not great.
Planted.
Not a good weekend for him.
But I wonder if they get after Mahomes a little bit more. Now, the problem is these games are so important and every drive counts and every yard and all that stuff. So, like, you don't want to just give him a free 15. But I think if you're coaching it, you're saying he's probably going to get the 15 anyway.
Make him think twice.
Yeah.
And so, you have to wonder if that pendulum swings. You have to wonder if Mahomes is tempting fate a little bit. Buffalo and the Chiefs, you think it should be a pick 'em. Right now, the Chiefs are a 1.5 favorite against Buffalo. You got to wonder if it's the Bills' year. You got to wonder if the Chiefs are going to three-peat. They're 7-for-7 in AFC title games since Mahomes took over.
Tougher game for the Chiefs this coming Sunday or whatever the Super Bowl matchup
this one,
was.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree.
The Eagles are really good.
They are.
I won't fully respect the Commanders. Maybe I should. but I won't fully respect them if they're in the Super Bowl. The Eagles would be a good matchup.
We just saw it a couple years ago. It's a good team.
But this is tougher.
I think so, too. It's not full, like, remember that stretch in the 90s where the NFC Championship was the Super Bowl, and then it was, like, a blowout in the actual Super Bowl? I don't think it's that, because I think Philly could certainly provide him with a tough matchup, but it does have, like, a Cowboys-Niners feel where you're like, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes is, like, it's now the Brady Manning, right? Like, that is probably, it's the closest thing for sure that we have to that.
Yeah, and again, Manning eventually broke through.
Yep.
So Josh Allen will. Is this the year? 617-779-7937. You could jump in on that. With all of our talk of the divisional round, we'll get to the Celtics and the Bruins later on in the show as well. Let's get to Saquon Barkley. And if he's single-handedly bringing the running back in the NFL, that's next. Eagles take down the Rams. They are in the NFC title game on the back of Saquon Barkley. Two long touchdown runs yesterday afternoon. It's Jones and Keefe. Here on WEEI, we're taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. We discussed the Ravens choking away the AFC title game, Lamar Jackson continuing to lose in the postseason. Is that fair that it follows him around that he can't win in these big games in the playoffs? We got into the Bills and the Chiefs, that rematch. Will the tide turn? Is it Buffalo's year? Josh Allen and the Bills continuously beat Kansas City in the regular season. They can't. In the playoffs, Mahomes 3-0 head-to-head with Josh Allen. And, the Chiefs, one win closer to a three-peat. They're 7-for-7 AFC title games. They're two wins away from that three-peat, something that's never been done. And they have the refs. I know a lot of you feel this way in their back pocket. So you can jump in on all that, 617-779-7937. Keith, you brought this up going into the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry eliminated. Joe Mixon eliminated, even Jahmyr Gibbs eliminated, so some big running backs knocked out.
Yeah.
But the best one this year, running his team to the NFC title game.
Insane.
Switch teams in the offseason. Anybody could have had him. Saquon Barkley, is he bringing the running back in the NFL?
Seems like it. Well, for him, it is. And I thought maybe you'd have more guys sort of joining him, and you don't. But I still think it's worth talking about because I feel like now the way the league is gone – people really argue about, you know, defense wins championships. People are like, well, it still does. You're like, well, not really. And then, like, people fight over defense. People fight over offense. Like, how much of a shootout do you need to be capable of to win the whole thing and all that stuff? One thing that almost everybody has unanimously agreed upon is that running backs don't have value. Everybody's like, don't draft them anymore. Don't pay them. Like, nobody really likes the running back. Well, what Saquon Barkley is doing this year for Philly has to at least give you pause on that. Do you remember the last running back to win Super Bowl MVP?
Oh, Terrell Davis?
Yes.
Was it really?
Yeah. The 97 season.
He was awesome.
He was incredible. But this is what you have. Yeah. So you have 25-plus years where it is quarterback dominant. Maybe a wide receiver.
Yeah, you'll get wide receivers.
Defensive guys win it.
Cooper Kupp, right?
Cooper
Edelman.
Kupp, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Deion Branch. Yeah. You'll get.
I think Antonio Holmes maybe won it.
Oh, yeah. You'll get a random defensive player to win it here and there.
Yeah.
But not running backs.
Never running backs. I don't even think they're even considered running backs. And right now, Saquon Barkley has been their best player all year long. If the regular season MVP award wasn't such an obvious quarterback awards for like the Heisman in college, Saquon might be getting more love for that. And then he's continuing to do it now in the playoffs. It's not a debate who their best player is.
No.
Like, he is carrying this thing. So, it is an ultimate throwback. This is the late 90s Denver Broncos. This is, you know, Emmitt Smith on the Dallas Cowboys. This is like a 90s running back type of appeal. Now, he's also catching passes out of the backfield, which I don't think Emmitt and Davis did a whole lot of. But he's doing that and still killing you. But the guy's rushing for 200 yards. He could score any time, any play on the field. He's a threat to score.
Does he need to win? Like, does he need to win
for
it to really be back?
Yeah.
He can't just go to a Super Bowl
like
McCaffrey did a year ago and say, and that was a team that was, you know, McCaffrey's more in the passing game than just a pure runner, but that was a team that was built around a running back.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think he needs
he's got,
to
they
got to
win it to change any narratives or for teams to look at it and go, I need to go find that guy. But you
Or
you
like, we
had,
can win this way.
Well, that's true.
Like, we can actually win this way.
You could have had. Meaning the Patriots or anyone. You could have had Saquon. You could have had Derrick Henry. You could have had Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
All those teams were on divisional weekend. You could have had those guys.
I would have taken any of them.
And all those guys were great for their offenses this year. All those teams were run-first teams is what they were. Now, look, Lamar had a fabulous year. Jalen Hurts is a quarterback who's been to a Super Bowl before. I really like C.J. Stroud. So all those teams have good quarterbacks as well. And, you know, mobile quarterbacks. But those are teams that were led by their running backs to where they got. And so you have to wonder if that narrative changes, and you have to wonder if that's a kind of piece the Patriots should look at to help the development of Drake May.
Well, I think two things this year kind of help that is obviously Saquon Barkley's season. I do think Jahmyr Gibbs' season, too, has changed a little bit how people think, because he was a first-round pick, and he's kind of a surprise first-round pick, because there was like a 3 or 4 year stretch, right, where there was no first-round pick running back.
Yeah, probably, and then, or at least not that high anyway.
And then they were like, all right, let's change that, because now you have him for 5 years, and you can sort of maximize that. But I think I'm not trying to sit here and tell you it's the most important position in the league. I just think if you have a truly special one, they're not dime a dozen. You can't swap out Saquon Barkley with random back X and have that kind of production.
No, and so, right, you're seeing in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, this exact thing. Well, Saquon wouldn't do anything without an offensive line. Well, true. I mean, you'd be closer to Saquon with the Giants than what you got this year for sure. But
Saquon with the Giants was also really good.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was awesome. But I'm saying, but like obviously he's taken another step with a better offensive line. But flip that in reverse too. Not any running back does this behind this line.
Right.
The Eagles lost Jason Kelce from a year ago. All-time great center.
Yep.
They lost him. And Saquon's done a million times more than DeAndre Swift did last year. So Saquon took this to the next level. And you know, you have to wonder if that's something that can emerge. I agree with you, though. They have to win it all. I like Bijan Robinson on Twitter yesterday. He said, man, Saquon, thank you for making us running backs look amazing. rather. The position is looking great.
Yeah.
I do think it's coming back in relevance a little bit. It's obviously a distant second to the quarterback. I don't ignore it. I like running backs.
But it makes sense, as it should, like the way the league kind of yo-yos a little bit, because if you're going to have these great passing attacks and defenses are going to play a ton of defensive backs, so now all of a sudden you have half the defenders out there are like less than 200 pounds, and then you have a guy like Saquon Barkley running the ball.
Bowl him over.
Like, yeah, you got to do it. And then if you're like, all right, we're not going to do that, well, then these teams are all going to pass on you. So it should become more and more relevant.
You wonder if it's something Drake May needs. Now, is it ahead of offensive line? No. Is it ahead of wide receiver? No. Maybe you even need an edge rusher and another corner. But it's somewhere on my list. A running back, improving Ramondre Stevenson in that running back room is somewhere on my list. We can debate where. You like weather games, Keith?
I love a good weather game. You see the breath? You know it's cold.
I was annoyed that, yes, it started so hot yesterday, and the Rams finished strongly, and Barkley had another runaway touchdown in the second half.
Man, the Rams really put it together at the end. I thought they were going to maybe get one in.
Oh, I thought they were going to win, and yeah. I was rooting for them hard to win that game. We're McVay guys. I wanted to throw the McVay stuff back in people's face. Also, the Eagles getting eliminated. Maybe that frees up A.J. Brown. You illustrated all this last week.
Yeah, not great for A.J. Brown.
Gets harder and harder for A.J. Brown to demand a trade when they're going to be in the Super Bowl, potentially.
Uh-huh.
But the weather really impacted the offense and the scoring and the production in that game, which to me is just that's why I'm tuning in. I'm not, if you're really legitimately playing great defense, good. But if the weather is just impacting the game where nobody can run a route, that's not fun to watch.
No, but then to me it makes it even more impressive. Like some of the catches that Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua had down the sideline.
Yeah.
The level of difficulty on the throw, the running that route, the catch to stay in bounds, it's pretty off the charts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if they played that game in a dome, who knows what the score would have been. But it had its moments, and it finished on such a high note. Well, like it was a fun game.
The thing people forget about the Snowball, which was fantastic, and Wiggy was excellent in it.
That was low scoring.
Nothing happened.
Just plotting.
For 2.5 hours, nothing happened. And so you kind of forget about that. It was a great finish, and it was a great game. And it's nice stylistically to see something different and
it's
snow
like the
out
movie
there,
the
breath
Mist.
On the field.
The movie The Mist.
Oh, I haven't seen that. The video game Mist?
No. No, not M-Y-S-T. The Y. No, M-I-S-T.
Got it.
It's got one of the most unbelievable endings of all time, but it's a 2-hour slog to get
there.
It's a
long walk.
Big payoff, though.
Okay.
Just like the Snowball.
That's true. That was a big payoff.
The Mist?
So,
yeah, it's a rough one to get through.
It's a wild end.
The end is wild.
I mean, it's good. It's a setup for the whole thing, but that is a 2-hour just journey to nowhere, and then boom.
I like the visual of the snow. I like the breath. I like a different style game.
Yeah. They got to clear the field. Oh, we got a kick, guys. Let's get move our feet around.
At some point, I need some first downs. I don't just want to watch a million punts. Well, at some point, I need some first downs.
They did play that game earlier in the year in a dome, and the exact same script happened. Saquon had 2 60-yard
plus. That's true. Saquon was a monster in that game.
Saquon's weatherproof.
But Philly scored like almost 40 in that game, so it was a little different. But Saquon was a monster. 617-779-7937. You could jump in here. All of our coverage, WEEI's post. Season is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Let's get into the Commanders. Jaden Daniels, one win away from the Super Bowl as a rookie. I thought you couldn't start rookie quarterbacks.
Don't.
I thought you needed
You'll
to ease them in. You break these guys.
Yeah. You want to break this guy?
I was told you need quarterbacks to sit for a year or two. I didn't realize. I didn't realize you were allowed to start a rookie, and in year one, they're one win away from the Super Bowl. I didn't even know that was allowed.
What?
Crazy. So what sort of lessons could the Patriots learn from the Commanders? The Patriots picked one selection after Washington this year. We'll get to it with all your phone calls next.